I love you. I love you. I love you. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. I love you. I love you. I love you. My golden retriever is a very special dog. Rex is as gentle and loving as you could ever want any dog to be. And every morning when I wake up, I go over to Rex and I pet him. I stroke him and I say, I love you. I love you. I love you. Now Rex was sitting outside. He was lying before the door and he was just looking around. And then I spoke these words. I said, every morning when I wake up, I go over and I stroke Rex and I say, I love you. I love you. I love you. Now, as I was speaking these words, he got up from outside, came inside, came right over to me, and stood there and let me pet him. And then he got up on his couch and he looked at me and he says, all is right with the world. Our vibrations are much more powerful than we realize. They're much stronger than we realize. And this is part of the game of life that we play. We play the game of life, of our vibrations, in a very wonderful way, and yet we don't realize how wonderful it is. If my dog can capture my thoughts, or if I can capture my dog with my thoughts, and say to him, I love you, and have him come in from outside, and he had no reason to come in. It was just because of my thought. I didn't say it. I didn't look at him. I looked at him through the window, but I didn't get his eyes. But he felt the vibration of what I was saying. He felt he was loved and he was wanted. We walk along the mountain paths here, and I took the Jeep yesterday and drove the entire mountain path. And I thought I was walking 3 miles every morning. And I was only walking 2 miles. But it is 2 miles exact by the speedometer of the Jeep. And as I walk this path, Rex is walking with me. And he will stop and check on the house of some critter living along the way. And he'll perhaps stick his nose in there and he'll dig a little bit and he'll come along. And occasionally he will stop for quite a while. And I'll be quite a distance ahead of him. And I look back and I don't see him. And I just think to myself, okay, Rex, catch up with me now. I like it when you walk with me. And then I continue on with my walk, paying no attention to him. And little by little, moment by moment, there he is, standing right next to me, walking alongside of me, just as though he had been there all the time. And in his mind, he had been there all the time. The words, I love me, are so powerful. They're so wonderful. The words, I like me, I love me, I think I'm wonderful, I like me, I like me, I like me. That every morning when I give myself my energy massage, I'm saying to myself, I like me. I'm saying to myself, all is right with the world. And people say, well, Herb, why do you give yourself an energy massage when you are the rule? You are the program. Yes, I am the rule. I am the program. And it is very good and very wonderful. But as I go through my daily activities of working with people and working on their problems and their solutions and working on the circumstances of life, and just going through the daily routine, thoughts come into my consciousness that are not necessarily beneficial thoughts. Thoughts of, I love you, I release you, I let you go. I see you at peace, I see you harmonious. And you see, if I were not to do that, if I were just to live in my own awareness of divinity, my own awareness of happiness, no other person would exist. No other person would be in my awareness other than my happiness, my joy, my love. But because I allow people to come into my awareness who have circumstances that want to be met, and because I talk with them about how they can meet this by having the right mental attitude and thinking good thoughts and living a good life in that happy way, I allow myself to sort of go through that with them. And in going through that with them, a little bit of their unhappiness, a little bit of their feeling of insecurity rubs off on me. Now, I don't like to admit to anything like that. I don't like to allow anything like that, because that's not what I want in my world. But it does rub off a little bit on me. And so I readdress myself every moment of my life, and especially when I first wake up and when I go to bed at night, with the energy massage of gently touching my entire body and saying, I like me, I like me, I like me. I like me, I like me, I like me. I love you, I love you, I love you. And as I say this to my body just tingles with delight. And all feelings of insecurity, all feelings of anxiety, all feelings of concern for other people and other lives and other programs that people would have for themselves, all turn into a beautiful symphony of it is done. It is complete. It is whole. It is magnificent now. It's so interesting that people go to doctors because they have an illness, and the doctor has studied about the illness, and the doctor has taken a very objective point of view about the illness. He does not think of the illness as something that is part of his life. He thinks of it as just a condition that exists for people who do not have their mental household in order. And because he does this, he can remain aloof, free from any of the slings and arrows of the diseases that he's working with. But if the doctor for 1 minute allowed his emotions to get in the way, he would be totally inappropriate to be working with patients on their problems, because he would believe that their problems were something that could might possibly not be solved. He would believe that their problems are real and need to have attention. He'd believe that their problems are something that are really very tough to go through. But because the doctor is very objective, because he looks at everybody from an objective point of view, he is free from that. Now, a doctor falls into a trap, and he falls into it very readily, when it concerns a member of his family, when it concerns a member of his world, a member of his household, somebody who's close to him. Then the doctor becomes very concerned and very worried about the people involved and what sort of things they're going through and what sort of a life that they're experiencing. And when a doctor does that, he is afraid to do anything. Like a brain surgeon would be afraid to operate on his own child or his own wife. He'd be afraid to do it because it's such a tender thing. Now, he can objectively say to the patient that is facing him, well, you have a 1 in 10 chance that you'll come out just fine. And there's every opportunity that this operation will be a success, and that you'll be whole and perfect, experiencing that wholeness as soon as the operation is over. But the minute he deals with a relative, the minute he deals with his own child, immediately he says, oh, I hope I don't do anything wrong. I hope I do everything right. I hope. And you see, that very hope makes the doctor an ineffective person for working with his family. When the doctor is working with the patient, he doesn't hope for anything. He knows he is giving his very best, and that all things put together, the patient has a very good chance of recovery. Now, he doesn't even think if the patient is uncooperative, the patient will not recover properly. He doesn't think that the patient might give him a hard time. He thinks that the patient has come to him because the patient believes in him and believes that this can be done and it will be done. And as long as the doctor holds true to that attitude of mind, he's a very effective doctor. But the moment he begins to worry himself and he says, now, I don't see much of a chance at all for you coming through this here because it's a very difficult circumstance and you might as well plan now that you might not make it. And if a person were to do that, then what would happen? He would be cutting himself off from all the positive attitudes that would bless him and would heal him and would bring him back to his original purity and integrity. Now, a doctor doesn't do that. If a doctor says, well, put your house in order, well, who cares if his house is in order? Who cares? Who cares if he leaves with his house in shambles? It doesn't really matter. Oh, the relatives would be concerned because there's not a proper will. But the time for making a will isn't just before you have an operation. The time for making a will is whenever you're feeling good. And then you make it, and then you leave it, you forget it, and it's done. You do a proper will, you do a proper... And then your house is in order. And there's nothing else to put in order. There's nothing else to do. The only thing to do is just to live your life fully and completely and wonderfully and not worry about a thing. What if a very rich person left without a will and he had lots of relatives and he had lots of people who would like to have had his money and the state took the whole inheritance. The state took all of the man's money after he left. People say, well, that's terrible, that's terrible. No. That truly was the man's wish, or else he would have done differently. That truly is our wish. If we do not take care of the little details in life that come along, then we are in trouble. Now, I like to think I will live forever. I like to think that life is eternal, immortal. I like to think that there's every reason that as every year goes by, we live longer and longer and longer, and there's no reason we should die. The only reason we should die is because we prepare for it. We make out our wills. We make out our preparations, and we say, now, when I die, I want this for my obituary. I want this for my funeral. I want these details to be taken care of. Well, what a silly thing. When we die, we move into another dimension of experience. And this dimension here is no longer of any consequence to us. So if we will live perfectly, beautifully, and well on this dimension, and enjoy every single moment while we're here, and think that every moment is going to be forever, be like a young person who goes into the military, and he's indestructible. He doesn't think he's going to go into the military to be killed. He doesn't think he's going to go to war to be shot. Many are, of course, but he doesn't think that. He thinks of all the people who go through this experience, he's untouched. He doesn't say, I'm going to be untouched compared to my friends and my associates. I'm going to be untouched, period, because that's who I am. Now, as we live our life, and as we live our life so beautifully and so completely and so fully, we will come to the realization that we always are untouched. We always are living our life in a beautiful, fantastic way. We should live our lives as though we're going to live forever. And should we do that, we will probably live more forever than we ever could realize is possible. If our intention in living is to live in a beautiful body, in a healthy body, in a healthy mind, in a healthy world, then we have to put those causes into motion. And when we put those causes in motion, we experience a healthy mind, a healthy body, a healthy world. We experience healthy circumstances all around us. we are always thinking about. If we are thinking about our will all the time, if we're thinking about the tomorrow, if we're thinking about yesterday, if we're thinking about the past, if we're thinking about all the problems that might be in life, well, then we're not living and enjoying the now to its fullest and greatest benefit. We can enjoy the now, right now. We can enjoy this to its fullest and greatest benefit if we so choose. But we're so enamored, we're so infatuated with tomorrow, with the future, with what is to come, that we spend very little time realizing what the now is, living in the now and enjoying the now. But we can change that. We can change that attitude, and we can start delighting in every moment of our life. If a father delights in his children, in all of the wonderful things they do, and if a father finds his child doing something that is not proper or beneficial for the child or whatever, the father will just say, "You always do everything right. I'm so proud of you. You have such good judgment." And you see, when we enunciate the positive, when we accentuate the positive, when we put power behind the positive, we give the positive every opportunity to be. And the child will demonstrate those factors that we demonstrate for the child, that we enunciate, that we accentuate the positive. Now, if that works for the child, you can be sure that works for us too. So as I accentuate the positive about me, I'm whole and perfect. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Every organ, action, function of my body is perfect. I'm my original purity and integrity. I like me, 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 I like me. You see, as I live in that consciousness, in the awareness of those few phrases, and many more that I have, they're called affirmations, and as I live in the awareness of them, then this is what I experience. This is what I know, this is what I am, this is what I have, and these are the joyful things that life brings to me. But if I live expecting the future to end, if I live in the past, if I live in a time of tomorrow or a time of yesterday, then I'm not living now. But if I live now, then I realize that I'm living in the only time there is. And I'm living it to its fullest and to its greatest. And I like me. I'm enjoying this time. I'm enjoying every moment. I enjoy walking. I enjoy running. I enjoy bending over and picking up stones from the path and throwing them to the side. Or reaching down and pulling up a weed that happens to grow up in the middle of the path. I like sitting at my computer, at my keyboard, and typing away. I say to myself, "I am perfect, I am wonderful, I am fantastic, I am glorious." And you say, "Well, what about? Hey, who asked you to say what about? Who asked you to say what about me in any way? You can just take that what about and leave it out, because that's not in my world. I can experience all sorts of things, and I can experience all sorts of circumstances, but when I have the right attitude of mind, the only thing that matters is that all is in divine order now. I can do whatever my doctor tells me to do and live in the awareness that I'm whole and perfect. Even while I'm doing what my doctor tells me to do, I live in my divine awareness. And as I continue to live in my divine awareness, I realize I don't have to put on a show for anybody else. I don't have to have a demonstration of these outward affects in my life. And I release them, and I claim only the truth about myself. I like me, I like me, I like me. I am divine order, I am peace. I like me, I like me, I like me. And the more I say that, the more my body says, "Okay, I like that point of view too." That's always a happy point of view to work on. And our body will do anything we want it to do. Now, Live every moment of your life as I live every moment of my life, being a happy, joyful, wonderful person, being a sparkling, delighted being in every area and in under all circumstances. And, you know, I've been listening to some of the lectures that I've been giving all over the world, and some of the lectures are quite good, and others leave a little bit to be desired. Some of the lectures I allowed my audience to take over and to be predominant in the lecture, and I think to myself, how utterly stupid. I go there to speak. I go there to share. And when I allow my audience to take over, I'm not sharing. Oh, I may be answering one or two other questions, but I'm not sharing. I'm letting them be the predominant one on my show. And so, why go? Let them live their life and so forth. They don't need me if I'm going to just let them take over. But if I take over completely, I had this 5-year-old boy, Ibubay, in London. He came over and he sat on my lap for hour after hour of my lectures. And he would play there, and he would use his little computer, and he would use his mother's telephone, and he would play games on her telephone. And he would do all these things while he was sitting on my lap. He didn't want to leave my lap. He wanted to be there. And I just went right on giving my lecture, giving my talks, giving my thoughts to my friends, in as though he wasn't even there. Oh, from time to time I'd recognize him when he'd make some sort of a noise, but I would go right on with my talk. I didn't let him take over my talk. If I had allowed him to take over my talk, he would have done a good job. He would have told you all about positive thinking and positive living at 5 years old. He's a brilliant little boy. But it was me that they brought to London to speak. It was me that they brought to Nigeria to speak. It was me that they brought to Europe to speak. And it is me that is to speak. And so I speak. Now, as I say, I listen to the things that I've said. And that's nice, that's good. But if I listen to it, what I'm doing, I'm taking myself back there again into that previous experience. And I had so many hours of lectures, if I were to really consider it, 12 hours here and 8 hours there and 4 or 6 hours there. You add them all together, and when I spend time listening to them over again, I could be doing 1,000 other things, 1,000,000 other things, and totally enjoying myself and totally being one with whatever it is that was important to me. We have to determine in life where our time should be spent, where our values should be placed. And if I place my values on the past, which are the lectures that I've given and the things that have gone before me, I'm not living in the now. I'm not living in this moment petting Rex and saying, I love you, and having him open his eye as he sits on the couch here and says, okay, Dad, I know you do, but you can never say it too many times. That's a negative. Say it as often as you like. I always love to hear it. And we should say that about ourselves. Rather than listening to the past, we can talk about the present, listen in the present, and tell ourselves how much we love ourselves, how much we delight in ourselves, how much it means for us to really be happy people. So today, give yourself your energy massage. Give yourself your thought massage every moment by saying, I like me, using your affirmations as your thought massage. Now, I think that's an interesting term. Your affirmations are your thought massage. And what kind of a thought massage are you giving yourself? Think about it. Are you giving yourself a thought massage? I like me, I love me, I'm happy, I'm wealthy, I'm healthy, everything in my life is going beautiful, I'm fantastic. If you are, then Join me. I'm doing the same thing. I love you. I love you. I love you.